Hello, and welcome to the Vlogging Pod. Tonight, we are joined with, now I hope I'm going to say this right, is it Rachel Corsini?
Yep, that's it.
Awesome, yay. Welcome to the room. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good tonight. You know, it's a nice night, which is even better. I have some sun, which is good.
Oh, I feel you. We actually had a nice day today, too. My apologies to everyone listening. I'm a little bit dealing with the flu half of the last week or so, so I might not sound very pretty today. Yeah, it is what it is. It's that season, you know?
Yeah, it's awful.
Yes. So, Rachel, I'd love to start right off tonight by going a little bit in your background. So you started at Columbia College. Tell me a little bit about that.
So, yeah, I went to Columbia College Chicago for writing. You know, this was after, like, you know, living in New York City my entire life. And I wanted to do something else. And so I just picked up and I moved to Chicago and I went to writing school. And I wouldn't say really on a whim, but it was a little bit on a whim because before that I'd always been like a dancer and a ballet dancer and a performer. So I sort of switched gears from that. And I mean, it was great. I learned so much in writing school, whereas before I was just kind of like writing stories without any kind of training or like knowing really how to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, this was like, you know, they teach you how to like workshop and how to, you know, figure out your setting and you're getting feedback from the other people in your class. And so all of that, but that was really like the first experience I ever had with something like that.
Wonderful. So how long did it take you to get your degree?
It took me 4 years. So I graduated on time, which I mean, that was great. You know, I didn't have to stay any longer than 4 years, but you know, I did a lot of like extra stuff when I was at school, and I'm really glad that I did that. So I traveled a lot, which was amazing because, you know, those experiences were invaluable. Like, you know, I traveled, I went to the Czech Republic, I went to Italy, I went to China, and I, you know, all of those things, like, even if I didn't use them immediately, they definitely inform the way I like approach the world and see things. So having that was the best, really part of the best thing I ever decided to do.
So you just mentioned your traveling, and that kind of, that's perfect because that led into my second question. So, because I was going to say, so from college, you traveled a bit and then you settled in Queens. Tell me about the traveling. Tell me the extent of that.
So, yeah, my first experience with travel was when I was an undergrad, when I was, you know, and when I had picked up and moved to Chicago. So I was like, well, now I could travel to Europe. I mean, that would be like nothing. So I went to the Czech Republic, and that was the first time I'd ever been to Europe. And that was it. I was completely and utterly hooked by the travel bug and experiencing new cultures and eating new different kinds of food and, you know, seeing all these beautiful places. I mean, the Czech Republic has buildings there that are from, you know, the 1700s that are totally untouched. And I lived in like this, you know, old hostel type situation with these like mini bedrooms and apartments, and all these like different people lived in it. And it was just very, very interesting. And also, you know, the way they approach like everything there, you know, the way they approach like drinking and, you know, the club scene there is very different and all of that. And then, you know, and then after that, I went to Italy, which, you know, I don't know if you could tell because Corsini, but I'm Italian. So
yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little. And then I lived in Florence when I was in Italy for the summer, and I did not want to come home. I mean, Florence is the city of my heart. The art, like the piazzas lit up beautifully at night, and like ballet being performed in the street, and the opera singers. Where I lived, there was definitely an opera singer who lived next door, and she used to rehearse and practice, and you could hear her singing arias in the street. I mean, just so romantic and so like so wonderful. I was just like, oh my gosh, what if I don't get on the plane?
I know. I've traveled. Well, I've only traveled within our own country, but there are some places that I've went to, and I'm like, do I have to go home, really? Because it is so nice here. Excuse me. But I wouldn't be able to afford it forever, so that's why I have to come home.
That's the other thing. You know, eventually I was like, well, you know, I'm spending a gajillion euros while I'm here. I think I need to go back home.
Yeah. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you went from journalism to editorial assistance for a medical publisher. How did that come about?
Okay. So I graduated from college in 2009, which was probably like the worst time you could graduate from college ever. Well, maybe now, I don't know, could also be pretty bad. You know, I'm a millennial, and we keep getting told, you know, about these unprecedented events. And I'm like, well, oh, really? Because, you know, I've, you know, lived through, unfortunately, you know, 9/11 and the first big financial collapse in the United States, you know, the COVID pandemic, more financial collapse, you know, so I'm kind of like, all right, whatever. So the first financial collapse happened when I graduated from college. So I kind of, after I got home, when I moved back to New York from Chicago, I really didn't know what to do with myself. I had a lot of hard time, you know, finding a job, like any job, any kind of job. So I did a bunch of different things. Like I was a manager at a restaurant, like a local restaurant in Queens. And I also taught ballet classes. And then I also managed to get a job at the local newspaper. And that's where I started getting like my first bylines. And now journalism is very different than creative writing. You know, I had to talk to people and get their stories and, you know, write about current events and be on call and things like that. But it really taught me how to, you know, really listen to what people were saying to you, how to like take notes, how to write things quickly, get a quick turnaround, send them off to an editor. So that was really valuable experience. But then from there, I really wanted to work in publishing, but fiction, that's really what I wanted. But the jobs just weren't there. They didn't exist. So I ended up at a medical publisher, Springer Science and Business Media, as an editorial assistant, which I hated.
Yeah, I've had many a job like that. Yeah.
I was stuck behind a desk, you know, the 9 to 5, answering emails. I mean, but emails for brilliant people. Like this publishing was like neurosurgeons writing articles about like the latest groundbreaking research. So these people were actually brilliant, but when it came to certain things, they were not brilliant. So like online submission systems for their articles or how to submit their books and things like that. This was where the frustration came in. And I was like, okay, I do not want to do this. Like it was totally draining my soul.
Yes, I feel you. I feel you. It's harder to walk people through things, especially in emails or text messages. It's very hard than just sit someone down and say, okay, watch me do this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So yeah, I feel you.
And these were people all over the world and all over the country. So it's not like I could be like, hey, just come here and I'll show you how to do this. No, I had to like to figure out how to communicate with them. But it was, you know, it was just not for me. But I'm glad I tried it.
Right. So you went from that an English teacher from where you're at right now, yes?
Yes, I'm an English teacher. I teach for the New York City Department of Education in it's what's called an undercredited overage program. So it's called a transfer school. So all of my students are 16 to 21 years old. And I love what I do. It's a like last chance high school diploma. So our job is to help them graduate from high school when they have failed at traditional schools. And a lot of my kids come from really difficult backgrounds. A lot of them have a low socioeconomic status. And so there's a lot of struggles there, but I try to make learning really fun for them. And like, this is where I found joy, like in what I do every day. And my principal allows us for a lot of creativity. And so that's where I really started to flourish, because I have total control over what I teach and the lessons that I create and what I have the kids do. And so we have a lot of fun. Like, I teach a lot of fairy tales and short stories and stuff that might be considered a little edgy, but the kids love it. And so, you know, I have kids that come from, they come in and they're like, you know, just so you know, miss, I hate to read. And I'm like, well, maybe not after my class.
Yes, I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot. Just a full disclosure here. My husband is a teacher as well. Oh. Well, one of his jobs is a teacher. Yeah. He also works on the weekends. He does maintenance and stuff on the weekends. Okay. But every spring, and then he special teaches adult education. Yes. He does specialties like for heating, cooling, and stuff like that. But also a lot of the adults who are still working on their GEDs come in, and they can get credits through his classes.
That's awesome. So that's kind of like, you know, a little bit of what we do, except it's a little more traditional than that, because they are still getting their diploma. They're not off on their own doing like the GED program.
Yeah. Right. Well, he gets some federally funded ones as well. So they're actually helping them get back on their feet for their education and stuff. But yeah, he got asked to do that. That's when, amazing. Well, you know how in this economy and things have changed, my husband's jobs. So he took a bunch of classes through the vocational program to upgrade what he wanted to do with his career. And in doing that, the school reached out to him, and he had to go through some teaching things, and then he was able to teach. So it's kind of interesting that they. Yeah, I thought so too. So I'm always like, I like to brag. Yeah, my husband's a teacher.
That's right. Is he in the middle of the spring stress at this moment? Because it's
yes. He is spring break is next week, so he is so ready for it. So yeah.
Yep.
And he has the flu too, so he's really stretching right now.
Oh,
so
no. You guys both got taken out. Oh no.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been a rough month. But I won't go into the details on that. So let's talk sushi and sea lions.
Yes.
That's okay. Very interesting title. Talk to me about you're welcome. Cause I was like, when I saw the book cover and I saw the title, I was like, well, that is so freaking interesting. So tell me how that came about.
Oh, so just the title in general, or like
the title and the book itself.
Okay, so we could talk a little bit about the title. The title fully associates with the main character of the story. Her name is Daniela Verdi, and she in the story is really trying to come to terms with loving her imperfect self. It's kind of the, I guess you could say, the classic story of, like, you know, a 30-something year old who basically has kind of lost everything that she's ever really loved or known and or thought that she wanted. And so everything in her life has changed, and she's forced to deal with everything about herself that she's never had to before. Oh, and really find that joy and that self-love again. When she never really had to do that before. And so one of her favorite things to eat is sushi. And another thing that she really loves is going to the Bronx Zoo and standing by the sea lion pool and barking at the sea lions in Astor Court. And yes, and she is, you're laughing. It's very cute, but she is that kind of spirit, right? She kind of has that energetic, like very upbeat, kind of a little bit child at heart kind of spirit. And, you know, the people that she had previously surrounded herself by never really allowed her to indulge in that. And so that's where the title comes from. But on the adverse side of that is Vincent in the story is the love interest. Vincent Labate is the love interest. He hates sushi because he doesn't eat any fish. And also he is not very like bubbly and energetic. If anything, you could say he's a little bit grumpy, but through her, he learns to be a little bit more joyous in life and to find joy in those little things. And so they complement each other. And so that's really what the title is about, is like that complementary, like I love myself, but we also complement each other. So that's where it came from.
Right. So I've got your website up here as well while I'm giving you questions. So I'm going to just put out a little bit of the last bit of this comment and tell me where this comes from. Collapse, cry, and overcome.
Oh, so that's a part in the book where Daniela, she is writing her entrance essay for graduate school because she, at the start of the book, she has lost her entire career. She was a prima ballerina for a major company in New York City, and she has a career-ending injury that takes her out. And so she can't dance anymore. And that's all she's ever done her entire life, has done ballet. And also, you know, weaved in there is the collapse of this situationship. She was with this man that she thought was her boyfriend that was never her boyfriend. And that also has totally fallen apart. And she thinks that she was madly in love with him and he was the love of her life. And so this collapse, cry, overcome, she's trying to figure out how to really overcome these major events that have happened to her. And she's writing her graduate entrance essay because she's decided that she's going to go back to school to become an English teacher.
Now, that could be wrong, but I'm seeing a lot of similarities to maybe just a little bit of your personality. Am I overlooking? Yes. Am I thinking too much?
You're not. You are not overlooking. So back to the whole, you know, we opened this thing with that, you know, I went to Columbia College Chicago for writing school. Mm-hmm. One of the things that like we constantly got drilled into our heads was write what you know. Write things that you know about. And I was like, what? Meanwhile, I'm like 19 years old. I'm like, what are they talking about? Whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm going to write some like, you know, fantasy or like whatever, blah, blah, right? Create my own world and all this kind of stuff. Meanwhile, I had never finished a book before I finished Sushi and Sea Lions. And so the similarities should not be lost. So this was also kind of like, you know, came out of my own therapy in a way. I had to walk away from a situation where I ended up totally, you know, devastated and heartbroken. And I was really, really sad and spent most of Christmas Day crying on my couch with a bottle of wine. And so I'm laughing about it now. So my aunt, who was visiting at the time, she came upstairs and she was like, look, she's like, listen, we've all been here. She's like, but what happened to you? She's like, you know, you used to be so creative. You used to write, you used to dance, you used to do all of these things. She's like, why don't you write? Why don't you start writing again? And I started writing. And so Daniela came out of that. And this, and all of the things probably that I should have worked on at a much younger age that I didn't work on. And I did it through my character of Daniela, but there are many similarities between me and her.
Right. Well, you know, it's never too old to work on things. I'm 50 years old, so I feel you. So you're never too old to explore new avenues of growth. I firmly believe that.
After, you know, going through this and writing this book and having it, you know, be published, like I definitely agree, right? And you know, it really helped. It helped me so much, and I was like, you know, this is something, and I'd never felt like that about anything I'd ever written before.
Right. Well, we have less than 42 seconds on the clock, but
Okay.
I still have a couple questions, so it's okay if we go over just a little bit. I did stop the clock because it buzzes something awful when it does go off. So I have a couple more questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Excuse me. So how would you say your career as a writer has formed even more now that you're on the teaching side, especially since you do teach English? So how would you say that that's changed that?
I think on if I'm going to be honest, I think I look at them as two separate entities. I know that might be weird, but I do. I look at writing as one thing that I do, and it is entirely separate, and there is time for that. And then my daily career, almost like two separate personas in a way, right? Like the,
Okay.
I have like my writing hat on right now. So I'm gonna sit and I'm gonna write and I'm gonna do marketing or I'm gonna do this because this is writer Rachel. And then teacher Rachel, which is more prominent because right now, it's during the school year and all of that, is like, okay, so, these are the things that I do as a teacher. The one thing I think might inform the other is the planning process because I'm a like they call it a I guess a plantster where I don't totally plot my entire book, but I do. If I can't write something unless I know how it ends, and so that is definitely informed by planning because when you plan as a teacher, you should know first the outcome of the lesson. What's the purpose of what you're teaching? And so that's the same thing, like the way I go about writing my book. What is the purpose for this character? What are they supposed to get? And what are they supposed to learn? And so, like, I always knew the end of Sushi and Sea Lions before anything else that went into that book.
See,
And
now that's where I differ. When I write, I don't like to know the end because then I have no drive to write it. So when I write it and I don't know the ending, it's like a new book to me that I'm reading while I'm writing. Does that make sense?
yes, that's very interesting. I also don't write
Yeah.
in order.
Yeah,
I write
I
in order.
do. I do. I write in order.
Okay.
Chapter from chapter. Yeah, all the
Nope.
way through.
No,
Yeah.
I'm a jumper. I jump around. I jump around from scene to scene to scene to scene to scene, and then I link everything up all together. And then I put
Wow.
it all together. I know. Probably would be easier to finish a draft or, make it make more
Now,
sense if I wrote in order.
I do do a plot. I do have like a see a plot, like the
Right.
idea of the story. But
Right.
as far as the ending, I don't do that because then I find it boring because I don't have no
I get
drive to
you.
write it, to get there to it.
I
I
get
find
you.
as soon as I know the ending, I'm like, well, I don't really want to write this no more.
I hear you. I totally hear
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. So what's next for you? What's coming next?
So I'm currently working on, I'm writing my work in progress currently, which is kind of linked up to this universe, I guess you could say, the Sushi and Sea Lions like little group that they have going on there, because they're kind of a group of friends. Daniela has two best friends in the story. One of them's named Trisha, the other one is Melly, and I'm working on Trisha's story at the moment. And they are polar opposite characters. And so I didn't realize how hard that was going to be for me, but it is very hard. And they are very different. Trisha's way more logical. She's, like a list maker. She is very successful and very career driven. So if you want to like get into tropes, she would be the millionaire trope. So it's not the man this time, it is the woman. So she's very successful. And it's about her and her story and the things that she is going through. And you see Daniela and Vincent in her book also because they are best friends. So you see the progression a little bit of my other characters, which is kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. You are very bubbly and very interesting to listen to. I will
Oh,
give you
thank
that.
you.
You really are, and I wish you the most success that can come to any human being out there because you deserve it.
Oh, Thank you so much. This was so much fun and this was really great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on the program. And actually, come back anytime. I'd love to have you back.
Oh, great. I would absolutely love that. I should probably finish the next book.
No, probably, but we can get there. We can get there. Thank you so much for being on. I want to thank our audience once again. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in and the sympathy and everything that you guys have given us and the condolences to my family. I really appreciate it. It has been a hard month, and I'm not trying to be rude by not reaching out to everyone, but I do want to let you know I am getting them, and I greatly appreciate them. So thank you so much, everyone, with all my love from my heart to you. Bye-bye from now.